Welcome to CDH Conversation Podcasts. Today, we bring you another episode of our CDH Women Empowerment Podcast series. I'm Phethene Nkuna, an admitted attorney in South Africa with a focus on employment law. I am a director in the employment law practice, and I also occupy the role of director in the executive management office of the firm. In that role, I oversee several operational portfolios and work closely with the CEO to drive the firm's strategy. Today, I am quite honored to be with three remarkable female practitioners who sit in different parts of the continent. I am joined by Lena Onyango, who is a partner in the firm's tax and exchange control practice. She stands as a distinguished expert in the realm of taxation and law, with an extensive track record spanning over a decade. Lena brings to the table a wealth of progressive multidisciplinary experience, particularly in the domains of domestic and international tax advisory, tax dispute resolution, as well as advisory service. The second female who joins me is Bonita De Silva, who is our managing partner in the Namibia office. She also sits as a director in our corporate and commercial practice. Prior to joining CDH, Bonita established De Silva Incorporated in April 2012, a boutique corporate and commercial legal practice based in Windhoek, Namibia. Finally, I'm also joined by Njeri Wagacha, who is a corporate and commercial partner based in our Nairobi office. She specializes in mergers and acquisitions, private equity, and venture capital. In that context, employment law as well as competition law. Njeri is the East Africa lead industrials, manufacturing, and trade sector. Njeri runs the podcast Njeri Talks Law. In this episode of the podcast, we focus on the legal industry, which is ever evolving within the context of our continent. For a long time, men have dominated the field, while women had to work twice as hard to be seen and heard. That's if they were even allowed to participate in any form of trade or practice. But that is shifting, and I'm sure that the various countries that make up our wonderful continent can attest to this. Women are stepping up, breaking barriers, and taking on leadership roles as lawyers, corporate advisors, policymakers, as well as judges, proving that gender should never be a barrier to success. However, even with the progress made, there still remains quite big challenges which vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, office to office. Women remain underrepresented in top legal positions. They face pay gaps, fewer leadership opportunities, as well as unconscious bias. This isn't just unfair, it's a wasted opportunity. Law firms and businesses benefit when women's voices and perspectives are part of decision-making. More diverse leadership means smarter, more inclusive solutions for clients and society. It's time to take real action. Women should not only enter the legal profession, but also thrive in it. This means equal access to opportunities, mentorship, as well as career growth. Law firms, companies, and policymakers must work together to break down barriers and make gender diversity the norm and not an exception. That's where our series comes in, Accelerate Action. Picking up from last year's conversation, today we are thrilled to take a deep dive into a few critical discussions that help us look at advancing gender equality in Africa, empowering women leaders, and transforming education. We explore the current state of gender equality in the African legal sector, the challenges that women face, opportunities for career advancement, and look at inspiring stories of women who continue to break barriers in the industry. Our panel of legal professionals will share their experiences, insights, and some awesome ideas for the future. I'd like us to kick off with a general observation on the lay of the land within the context of our topic of discussion. Njeri, I'd like to start with you. What is your assessment of the current state of gender equality in the African legal sector? And what would you say are the key progress points or achievements that we've made in recent years?
Well, achievements, it's a very difficult question for Temi. I think what we should be proud of is the fact that it's 30 years since the Beijing conference, the women's conference, a famous one where Hillary Clinton declared that women's rights are human rights and human rights are women's rights. I think there's been significant progress in the level of seniority of women in business, the seniority of women in legal circles, the fact that, you know, we're not only talking about women as leaders, but women of color as leaders, which is a big thing for the legal fraternity. It is great that women are also taking up spaces that have been traditionally male in the legal sector, for example, in the corporate space, in the private equity space, in the venture capital space. And that's great to see, and not the traditional family law type setting, which used to be the case for a lot of women. You know, I'm very proud of CDH as a firm that we recognize the importance of having women as leaders, demonstrating the way for younger lawyers to see their own path and their own career progression. What can happen for you as a lawyer in this firm. And we are demonstrating what it is like to be a modern career woman in this day and age.
Thank you for your contribution, Jerry. Bonita, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts. Being the managing partner of our newly opened Namibian office, what is your assessment insofar as the current state of gender equality is concerned within the local Namibia market? What would you say are some of the notable progress that the legal sector has made?
Yes, Pateni, there's been significant progress with respect to the state of gender equality within the Namibian legal sector. In recent years, many more women have entered the Namibian legal sector within all the various spheres. A voluntary society, the Namibian Women Lawyers Association, was established in 2015 in order to promote the inclusion of women within the fraternity and has made great strides. There have also been concerted efforts to appoint more female magistrates in the lower courts and judges in the higher courts of the country.
Thank you, Bonita. Lena, I mean, you are in quite a specialist area of the law. I'd like to get your thoughts when we talk about the intersection of tax policy and gender equality, shedding light on the systematic barriers that taxation can create and reforms that we need in order to support women more effectively. What would you consider are the systematic barriers in taxation that African women face, and what steps could be taken to accelerate action in addressing these inequalities?
Thank you so much, Bettany, and happy to be part of this conversation. Now, from a tax perspective, there are certain aspects of taxation or tax policy that directly affect women. To start us off, I think the fact that it's women who use menstrual hygiene products, which a lot of the women, especially in Kenya and you know, the rural setting, and a lot of women and are below the poverty line are not able to access such products because of the prices. And the prices are high because of the tax implication on them. So we have seen countries such as Kenya, South Africa, zero rating menstrual hygiene products, that's tampons and menstrual pads, in an effort to make them affordable for women and therefore just make their lives easier, just to be able to go to school when they're on their periods, or to be able to just go to work just as every other person and as their male counterparts. However, there are also certain aspects of taxation around single women or women-led households. We have seen countries that have sort of tried to make life easier for them. Just to point a few, there's Equatorial Guinea, which sort of exempts single women with more than three dependents under 18 from individual taxation. I believe this means, you know, they're paying less taxes and therefore they have more disposable incomes and are able to provide for their families. Mozambique also has a similar provision. They exempt municipal personal tax on women, especially within the domestic service. Interesting that also Tunisia offers tax deductions for single mothers, which allows them to claim about 100 dinar per child. And it's actually more even for disabled dependents. I think that's about 2000 Tunisian dinars. And this encourages women to be able to afford to take care of their families and their dependents and especially children with special needs, but also just sort of alleviates the pressure that they may have, allowing them to now just be in the workforce and have decent lives as their male counterparts. And just to close that bit, I think when you look at Ghana, the measures that Ghana put in place as part of the COVID-19 austerity measures, they suspended income tax collection on small businesses, which are predominantly run by women. So the African countries are sort of making progress by coming up with tax policies that make the lives of women easier. And I think most of it is just they sort of borrow from the international community. So we have seen European countries such as Hungary and the UK coming up with policies that sort of make life easy for women. Just to point out from a Hungarian perspective, the government gives family subsidies, exempting mothers with 4 or more children from personal income tax. And this is something that now we've seen with Equatorial Guinea and Mozambique. And from the UK perspective, now they shifted from individual taxation to individual taxation from household taxation, which of course makes the tax burden easier on women-led households. So Peteni, I would say we've made progress. We are not there yet. But just to give credit to the policymakers and the governments in the different African countries, that the acknowledgement that women do play a key role towards building the economy. And as Njeri has pointed out, we now have women in higher positions, not just in the private sector, but also the government. We have quite a number of women cabinet secretaries in Kenya. Also the judiciary, we have literally almost half of the Court of Appeal judges are women. Out of 29, we have, I think, about 12 or 13 who are women. So even the women's voice is being heard. It's louder. There's still much to be done, but I think there's a lot of progress that has been made over the years. Peteni.
Thank you for that, Lena. It's actually quite positive to hear that across the continent, even outside of the continent, there've been very deliberate, direct steps taken to distinguish women, especially those who have caregiver responsibilities. I mean, the tax relief, the further consideration when you talk about small businesses and how a majority of those are run by women. I mean, I think also within the South African context, we can attest to that. You have that one woman who's a breadwinner, who runs a small spaza shop by the school selling food, by the street corner selling fruit, veggies. So it's great to know that across the continent, there are very active, systematic and policy reforms taken to alleviate the burden on women and allow a greater participation of women in the economies of the various countries that make up the continent. Bonita, I just want to circle back to you. What you've observed within Namibia as the barriers or challenges that women face in the legal profession, and what your thoughts are on how the government, the country, the different stakeholders can accelerate action in addressing these barriers in order for women to be much more active participants, greater participants within the legal sector.
I think within the local and broader African context, women face many challenges in the legal profession, such as access to tertiary education, employment, promotion, and remuneration. I'm of the view that as women who are in the legal profession, we must be activists for other women in order to accelerate action to address these barriers and not necessarily rely on governments and national policies to address these.
Thank you, Bonita. You use such a profound word, activists, women advocating for other women, women opening the door and keeping the door open for other women to enter the profession, to take it forward. Njeri, what are your thoughts on what can be done to accelerate action to address some of the significant challenges that you have observed in practice, as well as generally in society, insofar as the continent's legal sector is concerned?
I think the interesting thing about pushing agenda ideology or even being clear about what a gender agenda looks like in this day and age is to recognize that the women of our generation, the women coming after us, are completely different from the ones that fought for, you know, equality and the presence of women in the boardrooms and et cetera, et cetera. So feminism and gender balance has to be achieved in a different way. And we have to understand the needs and wants of the women of today, recognizing, of course, that ideally we want to be working in a world where our hours we can dictate, our seniority we can dictate, our pay we can dictate, without having the limitations that were placed upon those that came before us. But even in that, the struggle and the fight is different, because it may be that women of today or women, you know, of the younger generation want different things. They want a work-life balance. They want to be able to work from home. They want to be able to really dictate the terms of their working life differently. Whereas the women of before were fighting to be as equal as the men were in the offices in which, or the businesses in which they worked. And so we have to be flexible to understand that actually freedom of any person in the way that they want to be is what we're looking for now, as we recognize the fact that we still want to be equal, but in a way that sets us free.
Thank you for that, Njeri. You make such an important point that, you know, success needs to be tailored. You know, it's not a blanket approach for all the genders. Success looks different for women, even within the context of being a woman. What does that look like? My needs are different from the next practitioner. What I aspire is different. You mentioned work-life balance. I call it work-life integration, but even that, we differ insofar as the definitions are concerned. Thank you so much for your contribution. Let me just piggyback on, we've just spoken about the challenges. We've just spoken about some of the successes. I mean, you are Njeri. You come with such a loaded profile. What would you say are the opportunities? You know, what would you point to as opportunities that exist for the African legal sector for women to advance their careers? And how can organizations support this advancement of women?
What I've enjoyed in my career so far, and this is just unique to me, is really the freedom to be and to practice in what I wanted to do. If I wanted to specialize in competition law, I can do that. If I want to do employment law, I can do that. If I want to do corporate, I can do that. And to really have the ability to decide where my career is going. And I think that level of freedom is what everyone should aspire to. And all the women who are listening to this should really think about the specialization that they want to go into and have the opportunity and the freedom to go into that specialization and then be the best at it that they can be. So the fact that, for example, Lena has decided that she's a tax lawyer, I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, I would have been intimidated to do that. I would have been afraid to take on that heavy mantle. But having the opportunity, having the freedom to choose and not being segregated to a specific area of the law is really what it's about, I think.
I'm so glad that you touched on and recognized one of the women that we actually have in the firm who've broken barriers within the African legal industry. What would you say from your journey, Njeri, what were some of the learning experiences? I know you've spoken about specialization, but we also consider you as a phenomenal practitioner who's broken some serious barriers. What would you say were the key learnings from your experience ascending to where you are today?
I would say that number one, hard work is inevitable. And what does hard work mean? It means self-sacrifice. It means sacrificing your time. It means that when your friends are out on the weekend, you are probably in the office. It means late nights at work trying to finish a brief and really trying to distinguish yourself in the types of documents that you're producing for a client, recognizing that people, they want you to value add. And if you can't demonstrate that, then definitely you're not going to stand out. The next thing I think is important is to be flexible in your work-life approach. I remember, you know, when we were entering the work life, you know, in a law firm, the idea of seniority amongst the people that you're working with, there's an amount of deference. For example, don't sit at the head of the table. There's an amount of, when you're the junior lawyer, that you're the one doing the teas, the coffees, the lunches, the, you know, for everyone. And that's exactly how it was. It was more like akin to, you know, really getting your hands dirty in order to demonstrate that you're dedicated to the profession. I think these days, I would say, even as a senior lawyer, you could be flexible enough to cede the head of the table. We could be flexible enough to make the teas and coffees for everyone around the room, including the junior lawyers. We could be flexible enough to really take ownership of yourself as the person who people are looking up to. And if your example is that it must be a very hierarchical environment, it must be a very deferential environment, it must be an environment where, you know, you can only be addressed a certain way, that level of inflexibility does not work in a modern environment where people really want to be working with people that they can understand, that they can relate to, that they see as their peers, that they can look up to, and really show that you're a human being at the end of the day and have a heartbeat. And I think that is one of the key lessons for progressing in your career, I think, for anyone who's listening.
Thank you, Njeri. I want to circle back to Bonita. Obviously, with the firm's expansion into Namibia, that comes from a whole explorative exercise, identifying opportunities, risk, doing the broader business evaluation, if there is even a business rationale to enter the market. What I want us to drill down to is, as the managing partner, being a female within the Namibia legal sector, what would you say such an expansion represents for women lawyers or women practitioners within the content of the local market? What would you say have been the opportunities that females could actually latch onto and advance their careers?
CDH's expansion into Namibia has actually meant that we are able to offer training and employment opportunities to more Namibian women. As it stands, I can actually say that all of our hires in the Namibian office to date have in fact been women. So that's something that I'm obviously quite proud of.
And let's just talk about Bonita, the phenomenal practitioner. I mean, you are in the topic of women who've broken barriers, who've ascended, who've advanced their careers despite the systematic and other types of barriers. What would you say, or what would you highlight as the woman leader's role in breaking down barriers and inspiring change?
Well, I can give you an example in the Namibian context that in 2023, for the first time, we witnessed the swearing in of two acting female judges in the Supreme Court. Prior to that, there were no women on the Supreme Court bench. And so as a result of this, Namibian women now know that it's possible to be a judge in the highest court of the land. And that generally means that only the sky is the limit for women in the legal profession in the country.
Thank you, Bonita. Lena, I'd like us to just look at tax policies and the reforms. Earlier, you spoke about what you've observed in various countries within the continent, outside of the continent. I'd just like us to explore a bit, how can tax policies be reformed to better support African women and promote gender equality within the context of the legal sector, as well as beyond it?
But Tenny, from a tax perspective, and just linking that with women within the legal sector, so fellow lawyers, I would say one, tax policies would need to be, you know, reviewed to address the issue of wage gaps. I don't know about how the situation is in South Africa, but from a Kenyan situation, we're also seeing progress in terms of regularizing the pay that women lawyers get. So it does not matter whether you're female or male, the pay is the same. So there's issues of difference in wage gap, difference in the wages that women get from their male counterparts, but also just alleviating the financial burden that a lot of, especially the younger lawyers face as they're settling in and, you know, just kicking off their careers. So I think while tax policy plays a key role in this, I think also we have a bigger responsibility as the women lawyers who've gone ahead of the rest, and just to provide mentoring and, you know, support and just guidance to especially the younger lawyers, just to be able to hold their hands and be there to support them, but also just to be able to be that listening ear. You know, we have women who are facing domestic violence. We have women who've gone through sexual abuse. We also need to create an environment where such kind of vulnerable colleagues are able to come to us as the seniors in the profession, and, you know, we'll be able to give them a sub. Because at the end of the day, if someone is not in a good mental space, then they would not be productive in their work, and that reflects on their work. So I think over and above the role that tax policy does play, which is the law as it is, I think it's very important that we create an environment that supports women in general.
Thank you, Lena. And just on the role that the legal sector in itself can play, what do you see that being in just being more active role players in advocating for tax reforms that promote gender equality and give African women a stronger economic foundation?
As lawyers, and I think as a firm, we've been very involved in shaping tax policy in Kenya. And so I think when you look at it, we have quite a good representation of women lawyers who are in tax practice, very vocal on issues that affect women in different sectors. When we are having representations before the parliamentary select committee during the budget process. So I would say there's also great improvement in that. And we can always do more. There's always room for improvement. But I think women lawyers are more involved. We also have women forums within the Law Society of Kenya. We have representation of women within the tax committee of the LSK. That is the Law Society of Kenya. So I would say Kenyan female tax lawyers are very involved in tax policy formulation, which I think is really good progress.
And this brings us to the end of our podcast series for today. And a very special thank you to the panelists, Lena, Jerry, and Bonita.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.